What's up, New York? Welcome in. Welcome to episode 126. I think vibes are peaking when it comes to the 2023 season at this point. 2024 season?
Is it? Yeah.
I guess that's how
started in math-wise. 2024.
Yeah, 2024 season. Three wins in a row. I guess that hasn't happened since running into the playoffs in 2022.
Now we're five unbeaten, three wins in a row. Looking better every single day.
And there's been a bunch of different people who've been a part of it. Cushing's been a part of it. The players have obviously been a pretty big part of it. The media has tried to be a part of it with spurring on players, like with Baki's ovation and everything. But a little bit of housekeeping first. We are running a FIFA tournament. It'll be this weekend. And the winner gets two tickets to the Hudson River Derby at Citi Field. I think we have a lot more signups than I think we expected right now.
Definitely.
Some podcasts or other NYCFC fan pages involved in it as well. So you may, you know, who knows who you may be taking on in the different rounds of that. Potentially one of us if needed to fill an odd number, but that should be fun, and excited to get the tickets to somebody that can go and like hopefully have a great time and get a result against the Red Bulls, because we're running hot right now. I know they are too, but that should be, it's always a good game kind of regardless. So
it's going to be another one that I can't go to. So I'm jealous of whoever wins.
It should be a good one either way. I know Red Bulls are in third place after our game against Charlotte. I believe we're up to sixth now, but we're 3 points behind them. So this season that kind of started off historically bad has been turned around. We're now matching our wins with our losses, and then we've got a draw or two in there.
Two draws.
And we get our first result against Charlotte ever. We've never won against Charlotte. We've never played them at Yankee Stadium. And I guess all the stars aligned for us to be able to take it last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what I expected going into the game. I think I did expect us to continue to improve. I didn't know that we'd have such a, you know, like late winner, you know, drawing back with Keaton. Definitely did not think that we were going to concede within 2 minutes with, you know, scheduled like big thing happening 6 minutes after that, 7 minutes after, which kind of blew that whole plan up, because it's hard to clap.
No, that...
Hard to clap after that happens.
That ovation didn't happen. Not in a organized full stadium kind of way. I think there were sections, there were pockets. And I guess they one way or another found out about it on the Apple broadcast and mentioned it there too. But even Baki after the game, they were asking him questions. He's like, yeah, I kind of knew about it because Alenich told me about it, but I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, that's funny that he's tapped in like that though too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't expect this game to go that way. I'm happy that it did, and I'm happy that Cushing and this team are finally getting results from the improvement.
And I think a lot of it can be lent to lineup decisions that have been made, and in a lot of cases, sub decisions that have been made too. Rolling into this one, we had pretty much an identical lineup for our last two wins. We just dropped Hanez, which we thought was kind of a weird time to do that after what was probably his best, or not at least second best game.
Top two for sure.
Yeah, in the shirt for us with his first assist. So he finally gets dropped. And Julian gets plugged in, which you can't really argue with after he has two super sub goals. So really, you're picking the best of two good roads at that point. Julian comes in. He looks fine, I think. He's played well, and Alenich kind of running behind him at right back there. Alenich, I guess, has locked the spot down.
He's locked in. That's what he's done. Yeah. He's literally locked in.
He's kind of fully removed Tavon from my mind when it comes to lineup decisions that I think need to be made on any given game day.
Yeah, I think he's done a lot to improve, but also show face. Because I think there's a lot of times where he was there and he showed promise, but he wasn't showing confidence in terms of, I want the ball. I want to be, you know, a part of what's going on. I want to be crossing balls in. I want to be getting back. Those weren't necessarily things that we saw from him early on in his NYCFC career. And at this point, you are seeing those things, and I think he's taking the step along with this team to show all of that insane promise and show why, you know, things like FIFA have him as such a high potential.
Yeah, and I think confidence in general has kind of been what has turned the season around. Like, it really only takes a few results to get rolling, and then once you have all of the players playing as if they believe that something can be done, we've seen what that can do over this five-game stretch.
Yeah, and I think that shows in a lot of players. Probably, if I had to put my finger on it, and this is where I'm going to speak out a little bit, because I talked about Santi being in the conversation for MVP this season. And I know that was like kind of a joke when the team's not getting results.
Right.
But he has literally dragged this team by its hair. 2-3 wins in a row, 5 unbeaten, the position that we're in today. It is Santi Rodriguez and like maybe 3 other guys.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning the MLS put out their power rankings of players related to the MVP conversation in advance of this game. So not even including the assist that Santi goes on to get to win the game at the end. And he was 5th out of, or maybe it was 6th out of every player in the league.
Yep.
So like there's definitely, at bare minimum, a league-wide conversation to be had, especially when we're in week 10 of a 36-week season, 32 maybe.
All that says to me is the fire that I was talking about, the MLS was putting out the smoke for it. Like, it's there. That conversation is being had. And does he have 20 goals at this point? No, he doesn't. He doesn't have 20 goals, 20 assists, but he is by far the engine to the team that is literally driving us to every result that we've had so far, bar none. There's not a close two.
We could be 0-10 without him.
100%.
I think before the game, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Hudson River Blue, but they said he created, the numbers are going to be hard to remember, something like, they said, you know, that he created X number of our total goals, and I it was like 80-90% range. Like, he was either the scorer or the assister on those things. And that, yeah. The only thing I think holding him back from the MVP conversation would be other players that are being insane. But there's nothing that you could take away from his game specifically to think that he hasn't done enough to be included in the conversation.
Right. He is 100% in the conversation. Am I saying he is the MVP? No, there are stats that need to be filled for him to win an MVP. I'm not denying that, but to say that he's not in the conversation top 5, I think you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And I think what shines above all is I'd love to see the amount of chances he's created, because he has been a big part in providing Munsef all of the chances that unfortunately haven't been converted to goals. But I'd like to see how many he could have, how many assists he could have. How many, like, he had a few shots that have gone off the bar, a couple free kicks go off the bar. Like, there are so many things that he could be so much higher statistically that he's just not.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. With Baki as your striker, you could probably pencil in, like, 3 additional assists for Santi. Last night, he did have the free kick off the crossbar. Then he had Baki's offsides goal. Santi was the assister.
Yep.
Which, he did play him offsides, but it was close, and that alone was a moment in the press box where, rumblings from other teams in past games that media members were upset that, I guess, the NYCFC press box is a bit too friendly to the team in terms of also being fans ourselves and celebrating the goals that we see. And when Baki goes on and scores that offsides goal in crazy fashion, completely out of character for him, because that was a very composed finish for a man that has shown no composure this year.
Yeah.
But it erupts. The press box erupts. People getting on their feet, screaming, everybody grabbing each other like, "No, we did it. We finally did it."
As it should.
Yeah. And that was a beautiful moment. And then as the news rolls in that it offside, it sucked. And then to see Baki he couldn't believe it himself.
Yeah.
He's like, I did it.
Yeah.
And then, to find out. And it was a rightful offsides call too, which sucks. We can't even cry about it. But I think that probably helps his confidence as much as if it had been a goal awarded.
Yeah, and there was also the moment where Thiago slips him in with a beautiful ball, pings it off of the post, and then the keeper as well.
Yeah.
Like, he literally was smiling about it, because he, even at this point, is like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
Literally, what do I have to do?
I think Javi from the City Boy said it's literally like FIFA cheese.
No,
on the field. Like, we're watching FIFA animations.
It's like that thing where it, in video games, when they increase the difficulty, but they don't make it harder for you. They just make you worse.
Yep.
It literally seems like that's what's happening. But I think he should take confidence from the game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great game. It sucks to be saying this for like the 20th time, but he had a great game. He just didn't score.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, he hasn't, aside from not getting the ball in the net, he hasn't shown any other reason to take him off.
Correct.
Which is like to be fair, the most important thing for him to do. But like when all the other intangibles are getting checked, like it is very difficult when your other option is Jovan, who hasn't played in a month and has an ankle injury.
Right.
What are you supposed to do? I guess sometimes you lock in and you're Nick Cushing and you put in an Alonso Martinez to come in and win that fucking game in the 90th minute.
I think there's two shout-outs that, you know, if you asked people 3 or 4 weeks ago if these people will be getting shout-outs on any podcast, let alone ours, that you'd call them crazy. Mm-hmm. But Thiago Martins, Nick Cushing, both masterclasses on the day. I mean, tactically, was Nick perfect? Did he protect everything? Did he, you know, have the perfect game plan? No. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he made the correct subs. He made the correct subs at the right times. He was able to organize the team on the go, overcome a 2-1 goal deficit, and win the game. Like X's and O's, he got the dub. He made the correct decisions. You got to give him, flowers for that. And Thiago, before obviously, you know, the unfortunate knocking out, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, the incident.
The incident that was, you know, kind of the spoiler of fun. Not any shade to him, obviously, but like the spoiler of the fun of a game winner. But all before that, he was putting on a shift. Mm. Like he was defending over the top balls. That beautiful pass to Muncef that on any other day probably is an assist. I think he had one of his best games this season for sure.
Yeah, and that was a scary moment at the end of the... It did kind of deflate everything. I'm glad we had a few minutes of open play after that to kind of like reset. We got to see him get up and walk away, but at least from our vantage point in the stadium, we weren't really sure what had happened. We were kind of scrambling to get the broadcast on a on an iPad to figure out, like, was there contact made? Did he just collapse? The stadium got pretty quiet, just concerned generally for his health. Like you said, Malachi kind of kneeling down praying. You're like, what is happening on the field right now? I guess in the end, Jermaine caught him in the head with a shoulder, and I guess it was a little delayed, but he kind of spun around and fell down. And then the scenes on the broadcast that we saw were not fun to see. Kind of the fluttering eyes, and they appear to be rolled back to me, and they're trying to get him on his side, the trainers, because you know they know what to do in those situations. But that was definitely a freaky scene. It did almost take, if he didn't get up and walk off his own power, I think it probably would have fully taken away from the result.
Yeah, and I couldn't imagine being at the stadium. Obviously, you were there. But even just watching, like I was, at this point, I had left where I was and I was sitting in a bar, literally in a full group of people.
Yeah.
And I looked down at my phone because I had looked and I was talking to people because it was pretty much the whistle was going to blow. And I looked down and I see Thiago Martins like fully knocked out on the ground, and like mid-sentence, I just stopped talking.
It was not good.
Everyone's like, what's good? Like, what's happening? And I'm like, I don't know. I was lost for words, just completely scared. And so that's when I texted you and I was like, yo, what is good? Like, what is happening? You must know something. So it was just good to see him get up.
And I guess
I doubt we see him next week.
I don't know. So Kush said in the post-game presser that he was dancing to Brazilian music in the locker room.
Okay.
So that's like
brain damage for sure. Confirmed.
So I don't know if he could be unhealthy. If he's, I guess you could. I guess you fully could.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was
so
like
jolly and concussed.
He had like a, he kept rubbing his chin and like exercising his jaw.
Yeah.
And he was, looked like he was shaking off cobwebs, but like, I don't know how you don't have a concussion after being knocked out cold.
No, I don't
either.
Or
at least appearing as if you were knocked out cold.
And I don't know how the league allows you to play in the next week's game after being knocked out cold on national television.
Kevin O'Toole came and played 45 minutes off of was called like one of his worst concussions. So yeah. I don't know.
And it was interesting. Cushing also mentioned he made the decision to pull Thiago out. He subbed him out just because it was a head-related injury and he was concerned to keep him in himself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a mandated thing. I thought there was a whole mandated program. I don't know. I feel like we've heard more about like programs that exist that are supposed to be helping players, but it hasn't. With O'Toole and Thiago, it hasn't happened that way.
Well, I think the most that they can do really is the ref has the ability to stop the play at any moment if there's a head injury, which is good because he spotted it pretty quick and was able to get Thiago the help he needed. But that doesn't really help beyond that. Like, it doesn't help if the coach just says, yeah, dude, you're awake now, so you're playing.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have subs or whatever.
Yeah.
So hopefully even though we saw a good game, hopefully we don't see Thiago next week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also a longer week. He's got till Sunday, so maybe he's cured by then. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to see. Hopefully, I guess, yeah, I would say hopefully we don't have to see him and he gets him to have that extra time to rest. But then I would not love to see Tanis Ahevich in. That could be scary. I wouldn't love...
Maybe he locks in.
Maybe he does. I wouldn't love like a rogue, unfit, not unfit, but out of form, I would say, because he hasn't been playing center back to come in and kind of blow up the 5-game unbeaten streak, 3-game win streak on a silly mistake or something. That would suck.
I feel like a smart Cushing and a Cushing of the 5-game unbeaten streak, he side stands and puts Perea.
You would
and
think,
just calls it a day.
Because Perea like was a good band-aid at the end of the game to kind of kill it off, because it did feel in stadium like Charlotte might be able to go and do something. And part of that too was, I know we're situated pretty close to the traveling support, and Charlotte travels well. We kind of did some laps around the stadium before kickoff, and like everywhere you went there were Charlotte fans. And then once you got in there, that little section that they have tucked away behind where home plate usually is was full, and really? Like they were chanting crazy Charlotte FC, like the shit that we heard when we were at down in their stadium. They were impressive.
I mean,
honestly.
Yeah, they are one of the best fan bases in MLS. Mm-hmm. Like it's not up for debate. Their intelligence is always low, but they'll show up and scream nonetheless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think.
And we need to give Cush his flowers, I think, beyond this game, which we haven't done yet. Because I think you glazed him pretty hard about this game. But there is a lot to be said that I don't even think we really touched on the last two episodes, just because we didn't want to, you don't ever want to swing the pendulum too far. And then you go into like a Charlotte, that's a tough game, and have Cush kind of go out there and make you look stupid for being like, he was kind of a genius with the substitutions that he's made. But like, this is now 3 games straight where he's made a sub that has come in and either scored the game winner or put a dagger in a result that like desperately needed it. Two of those times being Julian and then Alonso in this game. And even aside from that, the line of selection has just been correct. I'm not sure, aside from Hannes, and he ended up listening to us, even though it was not listening to us, but, you know.
Who knows?
We were calling for that to happen, and, you know, Hannes, it's been a lot of games for him. His legs are probably tired, and what happens, he ends up getting his subbed out, and Julian steps in now, and that was the right thing to do, too, because he's kind of a man on fire right now.
Yeah, and you saw, I wouldn't say relief, but just, like, the pride coming from him once the whistle blew. The cameras were immediately on him. And that's exactly the demeanor that I want Nick Cushing to have right now. Like, prove everybody wrong, you know, talk your shit and go get results. Like, that's 100%. I think he's handling this exactly how people in New York would want somebody to handle it. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you guys have been talking. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to clap back. I'm just going to get right.
Yeah.
And now that it's right, I'm going to be confident in your face and I'm going to let you know.
Yeah. And I like how much support, whatever you want to call it, that he gave to the fans too in the post-game presser. He said it was literally like we had a 12th man out there on the field. He said like all we have to do is get the ball towards their goal and then the fans are going to suck it in, which is a bit.
Wow.
A bit fun when you're immature to hear from the coach in the room with him. You know, it's, you know, difficult at times. I think he definitely doubled down on it, but he definitely might have tripled down on the fans are going to suck it into the net. It's like, all right, you're driving this one home. Yeah, but he didn't crack, so he meant it. And he was right, too. The fans were crazy. I know the players, I don't know where they got a bunch of the mini pitch balls, but they started firing them into the stadiums like it was a NBA playoff game with the t-shirt cannon, like throwing all these into the crowd. And I know Baki got a few to people like by the dugout where they leave. And it was, it ended up being a great night for everyone that made it out. Players, coaching staff, fans as well. And I guess that's what you love to see, especially going into another home game next week against a tough team in Colorado. I kind of forget that they are as good as they are just because they have Mihaljevic, who I think was right before or right after Santi in that MVP article we discussed. Yeah. They have Stefan in goal, which you forget that he left Man City to go there. And then some other players like Jonathan Lewis and Omer Fernandez, that little dude from the Bronx that used to be on the Red Bulls. And then he went to the evil side. And then I guess Colorado has since acquired him and he scored goals on us before in the Derby. So definitely a team where you can get clipped if you're not going and focused, but I feel like we're focused right now. So hopefully all goes well. I know we'll be there.
Yeah.
So that 4 p.m. game, can't complain about
Sunday, that. Sunday, can't complain.
It does suck a little bit that it's Sunday, though.
Yeah.
But 4 p.m. fixes
but it. But yeah, that fixes that. And, you know, that Monday, the next Monday is just going to, work's just going to have to deal with us taking a chill.
Yeah.
Like, work's just going to have to be all right with us not really being tapped in.
Yeah. Did you see that clip of Thiago before the game ripping the, today I smell a...
Dude, I...
What did he say?
He goes... Win. Today I smell a victory. Like, bro thought he was cooking. That's like, that's a step above Jameis Winston being like, what's this?
Yeah.
It's a dub. Like, no, that is.
He might end up in Toronto in the back half of his career yeah. with this. I don't know what he's doing with this.
He's going to be like.
He's Brazilian, right?
Yeah, he plays like he's Italian, not Brazilian.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm playing. Don't press me. Don't press me. I mean.
You're kind of right. So at the end of the game, Ajumang, who the only reason I know him is because he's a Connecticut boy.
Oh.
And actually from Eastern, too, is crazy.
What year? Who knows?
It's hard to know. But Thiago trying to keep up with him when he's, I don't know, that Patrick might be 6'9". I don't know how tall that kid is. He was taller than Keaton, though, on the field when Jeez. They were next to each other. And yeah, Thiago getting dusted by him at the end of the game, there was a moment or two where I was like, oh no, thank God Ajumang is like not polished at all. Like, he's just the guy that you plug in for pace at the end.
Yeah.
Because he had a few opportunities and they went wide. But yeah, Thiago has that slow Italian pace, I think, is what you were alluding to. That
I think he's
back.
He's got style. A lot of pace. He doesn't necessarily have that Brazilian play style. And I don't really know how to describe it other than that. Mad respect, because he had such a good game. But yeah, I think Sunday is going to be fun. We're going to be able to get out there, you know, get there midday. It's going to kind of have vibes of like OG seasons.
Yeah.
Where I was watching Lampard highlights, the biggest thing that stood out to me was how much fun it was to like watch a game at 4 p.m. or 2 p.m., whatever it was, and then have the rest of your day to celebrate that victory. Nothing was better, especially at that point. We were living on the lake. It never got better. So,
and I do have to say, Michael Allen, I don't know if he, I know he mentioned it in the group chat that we have, but I don't know if it made it on air anywhere, but he was so accurate when he said the soft serve ice cream machine being functional might have been the vibe game changer that turned our season around.
Could be.
It is a different level. And you know, I was just sitting there with a cone, honestly, and I was like, wait till it's like August, 7 p.m., sun's still out. The sun's not set yet. It's like 80, and you have a cone? Nah,
this is the chubby in me, but like, I can't even imagine having that soft serve hitter and just dipping like a french fry in it, dipping like a little drip. Oh, my Lord. Especially because if you're not careful with those Yankee Stadium french fries, you bite one the wrong way, the roof of your mouth's gone.
Oh,
weak,
I was going to say...
Weak minimum.
Yeah, I was going to go a different way with it, but there is certain fryers in Yankee Stadium that should be avoided, I would say. I don't know if it's the Legend Suite or whatever it is, but there was definitely a season of fries where you were screwed if you ate them. Like, your day was ruined for the most part.
Sharpness?
Not sharpness, just I think they had bad oil or something. It just made you feel like shit, honestly. No. Like, it was horrible.
Oh, no.
And I don't know
if... Well, if you eat a pound of fries...
you make solid
if you eat a pound of potatoes.
That might be what the chefs might say.
You got like half a pound of oil in you.
Yeah. Like, you're fully over-consuming, brother.
Yeah.
It's fully what... It's on you. It's not on us.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's 126, 120, whatever it is, 120 something.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to touch a little bit on Malachi, a little bit on Alonso more, but we can save those for future episodes, see if the thoughts and the performances that we see kind of continue or not. I don't want to
jinx it.
Guy scores a goal, I don't want to pedestal him like he's God.
Yeah.
But he has been good.
Probably be incorrect.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little too soon to say it, maybe.
I'll just make my last point then. You touched on Alonso. I'll touch on Malachi. I don't think there's anything that says he should be in that role over Jason. And that's kind of where I'm at this point. I feel upset for Jason that he's kind of been iced out of the lineup. And, you know, it is Cushion probably wanting to play with his new toys. But I'm at a point where we have not seen enough from him to think that he shouldn't be, like, probably on NYCFC 2, racking up every single minute available there and doing producing regularly before you can dethrone Jason in that sub winger role at the end of the game. Same thing with Ojeda too. I think he's exciting, but at the end of the day, I don't think he did anything in the game yesterday that a Jason couldn't do. So
yeah, fair.
I'm prepared to fight and die for Jason at this point. And we've done that a few episodes this season. I don't think he's gotten the minutes that he deserves. And if you keep stacking up chips on his shoulder, he's going to be crazy. So
I want him back. My only thing I'd say to that is Malachi hasn't shown really much other than an improvement in confidence that has allowed him to perform closer to at least his base level.
Yeah.
Because I think there's nervousness that brought him below his level.
That's fair. I would agree.
So, yeah, that's the episode. Follow us anywhere that you can get a podcast. Find us on X.
Sign up for the tournament.
Sign up for the tournament. Sign up for the tournament so I don't have to play in it. So I don't have to win and give second place tickets.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's it. We'll see you guys.
At Colorado. At Yankee Stadium versus Colorado.
Get me with some ice cream in the hand.
Yeah.
Peace.